Well, as Father said, my name is Austin Crapp. I'm a retired bishop from the Diocese of Itabi in the island of New Guinea. It's in just north of Australia and next to Indonesia. Now, this is the largest island in the Pacific. New Guinea is divided into two countries. The western half is the Indonesian province of Irian Jaya, while the eastern part is the independent country of Papua New Guinea, independent from Australia since 1975. PNG is a rather poor country with few good roads, large supply problems in education and in health, endemic corruption and bribery among the politicians and the civil servants, a high rate of crime and violence in many places, especially the cities, and HIV/AIDS infection is quite high. So on the whole, it's not a very good picture of the country. But in spite of that, the ordinary Catholic in the Diocese of Itabi is a peaceful, loving person, just getting on with his life. And out of a population of 93,000 in the diocese, about 70,000 are Catholic, originally evangelised by the German Society of the Divine Word in 1896, and the Franciscans then had a mission since 1946. The people love the church, they're very good Catholics, they perform wonderful liturgies and dance and singing and drums, and really come to Mass and enjoy it, and the Mass lasts about 1.5 hours per Sunday. The normal person in our province is very poor. They have a market garden, they might have a bit of copra, they might have a bit of cocoa growing, they might have some vegetables and perhaps some coffee. But because the roads are so bad, they have to walk over mountains to carry it to a place where they can sell it. And so really, the annual income of a person in the province where we are is only about $1,000 a year. He has to provide family with clothes and so on, school fees for his children, whatever, and of course he doesn't have much over from that. But then again, even though they don't have very much, they do give a lot to the church in vegetables and food and so on. Any work to be done, they're very keen to do it. So they can't give much money, but they do give what they have, which is themselves. I'm a Franciscan missionary. I left Australia in 1962, just 2 years after ordination, because when I was in grade 6 in the primary school, a Franciscan friar came along in his habit and cord and so on and said, "I'm a Franciscan priest and we have a mission in Papua New Guinea." So then I said to myself, "I'm going to be a Franciscan priest, I'm going to be a missionary in Papua New Guinea." Then 2 years after ordination, up I went there. Since I've been in New Guinea, I went out my first parish was right down in the Sepik district near the big river in the plains. A very small place, not many people, and they had been cannibals before, but not now. But they had very, very little clothes on, had very, very much, very, very little to do in life except hunting and gardening. And there were no schools, no education, no health work, nothing much in the whole area. So I was there for 5 years, and we got some catechists in, started little schools, taught the children, got in some aid people, or some aid personnel, what they call doctor boys. And I went around, straightening out the health and giving injections and so on. For 5 years there, we worked at that. I used patrol constantly around the 23 villages in the area. had to walk 2 days to get to the one place, and others were only a day apart. So for those 5 years, I was evangelising with catechists, and when I, just before I left, baptised 400 people. And now that is a very thriving parish of St. St. Jerome, and there's a local priest there in that parish. When I first went down to the very remote area, I walked into a village and the people ran away. They hadn't seen a white man before and they thought I was a ghost, so they took off. Eventually the catechist got them back again and he said, no, he's just an ordinary sort of a man. But they went to my skin to see if the white rubbed off. Now you might have heard of Itapi in July of 98. Of course, there was a devastating tsunami, a tidal wave, which was generated by a tectonic earthquake of 9.8, very, very strong earthquake, just 30 kilometres off the shore of Itapi, and just on the beach, right on the very beach itself, there were five villages with a total population among them of 10,000 people. And this earthquake, because of the configuration of the seabed there, generated a tsunami, a tidal wave, 15 metres tall. That is 45 feet, about as high as this church. And it only took about 15 minutes before it hit the shore. So the people were playing, it was about 6:45 at night, they were getting ready for supper and so on. The kids were playing on the beach. They felt the earthquake. All the water receded very quickly, as it does. The kids ran out to pick up the little fish left flopping around in the seabed. And then they heard this huge noise like a jet plane. They looked out to sea, and all they saw was this huge wave, 15 metres high, coming at them 60 miles an hour. So they had nowhere to run. And extraordinary, really, out of those 10,000 people, the wave struck the shore, washed everything away, dug up the trees, took away buildings, churches, clinics, schools, everything. And out of 10,000 people, 2,500 were killed. It really amazed me that not all were killed, because they were swept into the lagoon, washed into the bush. They took off, they ran, picking up their injured people and running in terror into the bush for 4 kilometres, until they fetched up at a hill away from the sea. And then the tremors continued all night, and they were terrified, of course, and all they did then during that time was to pray the rosary all day, all night. And so I wasn't out in that area. I was back in headquarters, which was protected by a promontory, and certainly I felt the earthquake, we all did, so strong. We have lots of earthquakes, but still this was a very strong one. And I was a bit worried. I went outside the house in case it fell over, because it was creaking and moving. But then we didn't know that what happened 45 kilometres away was so devastating, because we had switched off all the radios. There's no communication. It was only next morning at about 7 o'clock in the morning, we opened up the radio to speak to the outlying stations all through, and then a little voice, just very weakly from this area, came and said that there's been a tsunami, there's a tidal wave, many people are dead and dying, we need help. So immediately I alerted the disaster committee of the government, said we have a big disaster. Not sure how big it is, but we'll find out. We sent out boats and vehicles along the road to get there. And very soon also helicopters around the place came in. And then when we went to the beach, there was just nothing left, trees torn up, bodies spread along the beach, some covered with sand, all contorted and terrible injuries about them. And the people had gone. So it was next day, of course, they came back again, And we found out how many had died and what that sort of thing. It was the case then that when this happened, the government was well alone known to be corrupt. And Prime Minister at the time was known as the Godfather. And so the people who wanted to give assistance, even government people, knew that it wouldn't get to the where it needed to go. It would go into the pockets of the politicians and the Prime Minister. So I was at that time the administrator of the diocese, and so all the money came to me. And I had about 23 million. But of course, the government wanted to get it back. And so they did their very best to denigrate my name, saying I'm stealing whatever I did. They had to be very careful how we spent it. It had to be clearly for humanitarian aid, building roads, building schools, hospitals, clinics, etc., community halls and water supplies and so on. And we did that with the help of Rotary and other building occasions in 2 years. And it was a great achievement that it was done. We acquitted all the money, and my name was back again to good form. Also, we set up a counselling program because this trauma was so great that people were certainly suffering, and still they are still suffering somewhat. The young ones then, or the young ones now, have remembered that themselves. But we had to have this counselling program also. But now people are pretty well settled. And of course the establishment is finished. They have schools, they have hospitals, clinics, etc., etc. We've built all those. But of course when this was all over, there were 9 churches to build, because with all the money I had there, I could not use that for specific religious or Catholic purposes. It had to go to humanitarian or rehabilitation things. So I could not use it to build a church. Otherwise, I'd be in trouble. But through the generosity of mostly the American people, I've been coming here for over 10 years asking for assistance to build these churches. And just last year, we completed the last one. So they now have churches in the village. They are living away, 4 kilometres away from the sea. And they go down the little lakes to creeks and so on to get to the sea. They still fish there. But whenever there's an earthquake, they run away fast enough, very quickly. So we have completed the program of building, which was a big concern to me for many, many years. But now, of course, we have the ordinary diocesan administration, an ordinary diocese, vestments, fixing up the churches, fixing the rectories, books and so on for catechists, administration and travel expenses of the priests and catechists, bicycles for catechists, motorbikes for priests, other courses for administration, all those sort of stuff, stipends for priests because they don't get so much money. So all these things are still a large expense to the present bishop, Bishop Otto Sapari, who has all the worries I once had. So I ask you now, in your pew you'll find a little white envelope, they used to be yellow, the Missionary Cooperation Plan. So please, after the at the collection, please put something in this, and whatever you have, a dollar or two, it's all to the good. And please take a couple home. You might know someone who might like to help, some good souls who might like to give a dollar or two. You might like to write out a cheque for $1,000 when you go, whatever it is. So please take some home, and over the last 2 weeks or so, and it'll be collected here. Our Father will explain exactly how that works. So that's my story. Thank you for listening.